Welcome. Welcome to the best 5-minute wine podcast with Forrest Kelly.
Premium Blend. It's a company that developed wine-based spirits that allow venues with only beer and wine licenses to serve cocktail-style drinks.
Hello, this is Gino Santos, president of Premium Blend Cocktails.
Premium Blend Cocktails. I'm not deep into the licensing. Are you the one who came up with this that said there's a need? There's a crack in here that we need to help some people.
I'm not going to take credit for being the person who invented it, my brother and I, but we are the ones who perfected it. We started the business because I was out on the road and I found a product that was wine-based liquor substitute. And I, being familiar with how difficult it is to get a liquor license, I said, wow, this is a great idea. And when I approached them, they weren't really being successful with it. So I decided, let me give it a shot. Took it, went out in the world, started selling it, saw that there is a need for it. Then we, my brother and I, Henry, we created our own brand with our own flavors, our own labels, because we understood they weren't successful because they didn't understand the marketing that needs to go behind any product in the alcohol industry.
So if you could clarify that a little bit.
Yeah, actually, when you go to anywhere, a restaurant, bar, amphitheater, stadium, anywhere, and you have a liquor license because they got a lot of money. Liquor licenses are very expensive. They get into 6 or maybe 7 figures if you're in a hot area like a Miami Beach, let's say in Florida, and they're limited. The state provides them on a population basis, so there's only so many the state will actually give you, which are not expensive at all, but since they're limited, they go fast. So anybody who's out there in the world trying to do a business and serve cocktails, they try to secure a liquor license, they got to buy it on the open market. That's where those inflated numbers come from, you know, costing thousands of dollars. So it's very difficult to do. It's very challenging for a smaller, medium-sized location. Family restaurants, almost impossible. But then there's another tier of licensing, which is called a beer and wine license. In Florida, it's about $400 in a handshake. There's no limit on them. You can get them easily. There's no limitations. And that's what a lot of the small to medium-sized restaurants and bars get. But that limits them to just, you know, serving you a glass of wine or a bottle of beer. And, you know, that's great on a lot of occasions, but there's even more occasions where people go out and they'd like to have a cocktail with their meal. So, and that's where Premium Blend comes in. We bridge that gap between being able to serve a drink and not having the license to serve the drink, because our products are legally classified as wines because of the way we make them, but they taste like liquor because of the way they're used.
Now, is that a third license that you would need?
No, you would just get that simple beer and wine license that allows you to serve, like I mentioned, a bottle of beer, a glass of wine, because technically, as far as the law is concerned, and because of the formulation of the products and all the legalese, our products is considered wine. So from a legal perspective, you're serving somebody a glass of wine. Now, the fact that it tastes like a liquor and you mix up mixers in it to make a cocktail, that's totally up to the restaurant or the location to decide what to do with the product.
Okay, we'll get into that a little bit later, but let's give a little bit of background. You're in Miami, Florida, and you've got a Cuban background, Cuban-American background. Let's start off with Gino and Henry's backstory.
Well, basically, we were born in Cuba, so we are full-blooded Cubans. I came to this country, I was 5 years old, Henry was 9 years old. Our first home was up in Newark, New Jersey. My father was a musician, a singer-songwriter, and he wanted to work out of New York City. Obviously, couldn't afford to live in New York City, having just, you know, arrived in the country. So we lived in New Jersey, and he would go over to New York every day to go to work. So I personally started kindergarten in this country. So my entire education has been in English. So the fact that, as you say, I don't have an accent, well, that kind of makes a lot of sense, because at this point in my life, English is my first language, because I speak it so much more than I speak Spanish. Even though I do speak very fluent Spanish, because growing up, if I didn't speak Spanish, I couldn't communicate with my parents or my grandmother. So I kind of got the best of both worlds there. So we've been here many years, started in New Jersey and came down to Miami about 5 or 6 years after we moved to New Jersey. We moved down to Miami because, quite frankly, my parents just hated the cold weather. I mean, we're Caribbean animals. My father disliked it so bad, he wrote a song about the misery of living in cold weather.
Oh, I could relate to that. That's why I live in Southern California. I don't
there
like cold
go.
Weather.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
What was your dad's impetus to come to get out of Cuba?
Well, basically, he couldn't. The main reason he came is that one word that everybody has heard of, Castro. He was actually anti-Castro. He was actually thrown in jail for a little bit. And he did not want to raise his kids in that, because in the communist system. We had an uncle who was who fought in the Bay of Pigs. And after he was released from jail in Cuba with the deal that Castro made with Kennedy, releasing all the Bay of Pigs prisoners and sent back to the United States, my father was very like under a microscope because his brother had come in there fighting in the Bay of Pigs. So he was thrown in jail for a while and then he was released and he was a celebrity in Cuba. My father was actually very famous in Cuba, wrote a lot of hit songs. So he was well known, so he couldn't really fly under the radar. When Castro said, hey, anybody who wants to leave, he opened up a port called Camagüey, which is, everybody knows Mariel, but Camagüey was, 15 years before Mariel. My uncle, who was living in Miami, he actually stole a boat, went down and picked us up and brought us back.
Wow. What kind of boat? Do you remember the boat?
Shrimp boat. And he didn't just bring us, obviously. He loaded the boat with everybody who can fit on that thing. Nobody wanted to live in communism because by that time, Castro had already, taken his mask off, had aligned himself with the Soviet Union. He was full on communist. So he loaded up that boat with our family, came over with my mother, my father, my grandmother, my two older brothers, as I am the baby of the family, and loaded up with people. And, shrimp boats have this hull where they dump all the shrimp as they're pulling out of the ocean. All the little kids and the women were in that hull, and the men and the older kids were up on top. And we got here. We actually were escorted by the United States Coast Guard. They picked us up in the middle of the ocean as the boat was starting to sink and escorted us to Key West and brought us into the country.
Wow, starting to sink. Did you sense that as a child?
No, to be honest with you, I was 5 years old. I have a slight memory of sitting in that hall with my grandmother, who was always the one like took care of me the most, and just sitting in there. I have a memory of that, but I don't remember all the things that were going on around. It's a shame, Henry's not here right now because he was nine and a half maybe. And he has a lot of vivid memory because he was up on top with where the men were, so he saw more action.
Coming to America and seeing the first impression you got?
Well, the first impression was when the Coast Guard took us off the boat in Key West and brought us all sandwiches and cold milk. We were like, oh, sandwiches and cold milk. Oh, this is heaven.
Yeah, exactly. Is it for a little kid? That's what an adventure.
Are you kidding me? That was fantastic.
Once you get out of school and things, you went to college. Where'd you go?
I went to undergraduate at a small university in Central Florida called Stetson University on the eastern side of Florida between Orlando and Daytona Beach. We also have a law school over in the Tampa area. That's where I got my bachelor's degree. Then I went to the University of Miami down in South Florida, and I got my MBA there, my master's degree in the University of Miami. So got out of there, started working in the world, did some stuff in banking, didn't like it too much. Got a job with Oscar Mayer, so I was out in the world schlepping hot dogs and bologna with the Oscar Mayer folks.
Yeah.
And which was a great job. Obviously, that's it's a major corporation. And that's when I ran across this wine-based product that was out in the world. I was walking around, going into businesses, and I saw this, and it caught my fancy. And when I told Henry about it, he was like, wow, I think we might have something here.
What was he doing at the time?
He had his own business. He had partners. He they were selling mining equipment, diving equipment. It was a company out of Colombia, and he was running the United States office. So he was based here in Miami, obviously, working with the Colombian partners. He did that. When we started the company together, we both chipped in, a little bit of money that we had. I started working it by myself at first, but 6 months later, he joined me full time, seeing the potential. And that's, we started taking off.
Who's the brains? I know you got the looks in the relationship here, but.
Oh, I don't know. His wife's going to hear this, so I don't know what I can say. Actually, people say we look alike. So that's going to be, I'm going to call that a 50-50 tie.
Actually, to have the idea in your head and then to formulate the whole thing.
Well, I'll tell you, the hardest part was not formulating and making that happen. Because in the alcohol business, there's bottling companies and they do products for a lot of people and they slap your label on them, right? We went to the company that was bottling the other product and said, hey, we have an idea to do this kind of product, but our flavor profile and our branding is going to be different. And we just showed up. They didn't know who we were. We had no industry experience. This is an outfit called Florida Distillers back in the day. And a gentleman who we call him our godfather by the name of Chris Mitchell, who looked at us and said, yeah, I can do that. And he easily could have said, no, you guys don't know. Who are you guys? Never heard of you. You don't got any money. Just get out of here. But he didn't. He took a chance on us. And we are forever grateful to Chris Mitchell back in the Florida Distillers days. We're talking about the 90s now. So that wasn't hard to do. We just, we put on the charm, I guess, and he bought it. The difficult thing to do was to get people to buy wine-based spirits. which now you hear people. I just saw an ad this morning. Somebody was saying, hey, come to 7-Eleven and have a wine-based cocktail. I'm like, wow, the world has changed. Our biggest problem for the first half of our existence was education. Because remember, everybody's always wanted to sell a drink because you make a lot of money selling drinks. Restaurants, they make more money selling drinks than selling food. Profit margin is great.
Yeah.
So people were making wine-based product drinks for a long time, but they were terrible because they were using whatever cheap wine that they had in their location. Margarita made with, you know, Mad Dog 2020, made with whatever house wine they had. And they didn't taste good. When we first got into the market, people were like, that wine-based, I'm not going to say the word, but it starts with an S, ends with T, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We got to the point where we wouldn't even say wine-based. We would say, it's a fermented alcohol. And we would do trade shows. And there's a saying in the industry, you know, got to get the liquid to the lips. So we would do trade shows. We'd do samplings. Was out there knocking on doors. When people tried the drink that was made with our product, they're like, wow, this actually tastes like a margarita or a pina colada. They were shocked. That's the hardest part of getting the business started.
How do you take your own preference of taste, your own taste palate out of the equation and get a winning formula that will go for everybody, that everybody will be happy with?
I don't take it out totally. Like, we try everything ourselves. I think there's an old adage in sales that you got to believe in what you're selling. So if I try something and I think it stinks, I'm not going to be so happy telling people, this is the most wonderful thing in the world.
Yeah.
That's why our products are so consistently matched with the liquor that we're replicating. Our tequila substitutes are actually made from 100% blue agave in Jalisco, Mexico. I mean, this is as close to being of actual tequila as you can get. It's just not a spirit and it's not at the alcohol level and it's not made exactly. We skip a lot of some of the process to turn it into a tequila, but it actually comes from the source that you're getting the best tequilas in the world made in the same places that we're making our stuff. We do pay attention to quality, but we also obviously, we have several people try it. We do tastings. When we first started, it was all about making the cocktail, right? Because everybody was so anti-wine-based that if the drink tasted good, we can get away with what's inside of it. Now, we've kind of been emboldened. We just try it straight. We just serve it right into a glass. We'll chill it, whatever. And people drink the alcohol straight, and they like it. We don't need to mask it with all the ingredients any longer. And that's been the evolution of the product. We do tastings. We do, flavor samplings. You know, I don't take my palate out of the equation because I got to believe that it's good myself.
Let's go through your product line. Pick whichever one you want to start with and tell us a little bit about it.
Well, obviously, the one that we're the most proudest of is our agave wine collection. We have, which is our tequila substitutes, but they actually stand on their own because a lot of restaurants, especially in California, are selling the bottles by themselves and just, like a bottle service to their tables. And people are taking shots with it and stuff. And it's 48 proof, not 80 proof. And that, in today's environment, is actually a plus because it's smoother. I mean, it doesn't give you the burn or the bite, but it has the flavor. So it's smoother. So people are actually starting to drink that product straight. And we have several iterations of it. We have, the one you make the well brand margarita from, the Tequesta or the Jinete, which is our white version. We have a Reposado type, which is a Guitarrón. And then we have, a Guitarrón Clásico. We have a Mezcal type, Zapotec. We have a Cristalino. Believe it or not, we have El Guitarrón Cristalino, just like the industry has the big push with Cristalino tequilas now. We have our own. And it's fantastic. We'll drink it straight all the time. So I think our agave wine collection is second to none, and it's a category that could actually stand on its own, not just as a tequila substitute.
You know, the wine industry is filled with fine dining, sommeliers, a little bit of snobbery. Your base is a margarita. Have you had any pushback from wine lovers?
The wine snobs, they were our biggest challenge in the beginning, and they still continue to be a challenge, because automatically when they hear wine, they think of what they know to be wine. That's why we always use the term wine-based liquor, because first of all, it's closer to the truth. It's not really a wine; it's a wine-based liquor. It's not really a liquor, that's why it's a wine-based. So it's a hybrid of sorts. But what that does is, for the consumer, they either know what it is because it's becoming very common nowadays, or they ask, "Wait a minute, I've never heard of that. What is that?" And that allows us to say, to tell them what it is. So their expectation is not that they're getting a Cabernet from California. But so we don't just say, this is a wine, it's a wine-based liquor, to kind of shift that mindset that somebody might be thinking about. But wine snobs are wine snobs. I mean, you could have the nicest $20 bottle of wine, and just because it's $20, they're not going to want to drink it. So that's just, they're a challenge,
yeah.
Not just for us, but for anybody in the wine industry that's not selling a $1,000 bottle of wine.
What do you do on a monthly basis throughout an entire month? How many different functions are you circulating through in the business?
From the operational perspective, I kind of know everything that's going on. I oversee everything going on. Don't tell anybody, but I don't really, work that much anymore in terms of packing boxes and loading trucks. But obviously, my main function is strategic, legal, and financial. So what's going on today was decided upon last year. I can't be thinking about, today's operation because I need to be thinking about the future and the vision and the strategy. So that's kind of like what most of my time is taken up with thinking about next year, not this year.
You're on top of it because I just went to after I got the booking from Maria, I went to your website and I signed up. And within 10 minutes, Ray Santos reached out to me. He called me on the phone, actually, and said, hey, would you like some samples? And this was like, noon on a Monday. And I had the samples in my home Tuesday at noon.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that. It means that it's working right. It's working correctly. And those are all things that Henry and I would have done ourselves back in the day. But, we're fortunate to be distributed, to be sold in several states around the country. And our growth has happened. And, you can't just be a two-man operation and have that happen. In my entrepreneurial journey, I heard a saying many years ago, which is still true to this day. And that is, if you own a business and you have to go to work every day to make that business function, then you have a job. I like to approach it that Henry and I own the business, that we don't just have jobs.
Was there a conscious decision on the plastic bottle as opposed to glass?
Yes, it's called being a struggling new business. When we started, we just self-distributed. We sold everything ourselves because obviously no distributor that's in business is going to, they weren't interested in our products back then. So we were shipping all over the state of Florida. So as you can imagine, it's hard to ship glass. It weighs a lot and they break. So we did the plastic because we can get a case, send it UPS or FedEx. It's only 28 pounds, which is less expensive. And the way those guys throw those boxes around, plastic doesn't break, glass does. So it was basically a dollars and cents decision back when we had, two nickels to rub together, that this was, the only way we could actually afford to ship around the state. Now, today we got a lot of products that are in glass, that especially ones that are a little better quality. But for the well, we still have plastic because something else that restaurants and bars find out is that when they drop a bottle and it's plastic, they don't lose it. When they drop glass, they lose it. You'd be surprised. Maybe you wouldn't be surprised, but we've had accounts that were like, oh, really? Plastic? I'm not sure. And then they reorder and we go, so the plastic was okay. And they go, yeah, actually, you saved me a couple of bucks as my bartender just dropped a bottle. I just picked it up.
If there's some distributors or restaurants or bars that are listening right now, give them the pitch that back in the day when you were out on the street working them and you walk in cold to a bar or wherever, let me hear the pitch that you'd hit them with.
Well, basically, the opportunity that our product presents for a restaurant is threefold. First, it gives you the ability to have a high profit item on your menu. You're able to sell cocktails with only a beer and wine license. You don't need to have the expense of a liquor license from a licensing perspective or an insurance perspective. The customers that are used to coming to you are going to come more often because believe it or not, Joe and Cindy come every couple of weeks, but sometimes they go over to the other place because Cindy wants a margarita or Joe wants a Bloody Mary. Now you can offer them that so they can come back more often because when the days they want to drink, they can have it at your place. In addition to that, the customer who doesn't know about your place comes in for the first time and sees you have cocktails, you've just earned them as a customer, as a repeat customer. They're not going to come back if they can't have their favorite drink on a Saturday night. Now they can because you have premium blend wine-based spirits that can make a cocktail and just as good. And we encourage you to let them have a free sample because they're going to love it. And it's going to order the cocktail. So it's going to increase your margins, it's going to increase customer retention, and it's going to attract new customers for you. And if that's not enough, your wait staff is going to make more money. Because when you sell a cocktail for $10, $12, instead of a bottle of beer or a glass of wine for $6 or $7, that check average is going to be higher. And the tip that waiter or waitress is going to get is going to be higher. Yep. So they're going to make your wait staff happier because they're going to get bigger tips and make more money. The only question here is, how does it taste? Let me make you a drink, sample the product for you, and you can tell me what you think.
Do you ever stack them up side by side and do a blind taste test?
All the time. Henry likes to say that when we make a sales presentation at a restaurant, it's like we're moving in there. We come in with every bottle and every mix, and we got bags and bags. It's like we're moving into this place with so many things we bring in. Because we let them try everything, and anybody, we've had owners that are like, my cousin's coming to visit me. Can he try? Yeah, everybody, come on. Everybody come here. Everybody drink, try it and drink it. A lot of times these places, even though they don't have beer and wine license, the owner will have a bottle of rum in his room, in his office, let's say, right? He'll say, oh, let me try it against the rum. And they'll make a drink and the drink will taste the same. The rum obviously is going to be stronger when you drink it straight versus our rumbero, which is our rum type. But when you make it a piña colada, it tastes exactly the same. Nobody can tell which is which.
What's the price cost comparison?
It depends on the market. Because this is an industry that has different taxation in different localities. And I don't mean sales tax. I'm talking about alcohol tax. Like a case of our Crumbero, as I just mentioned, pays $10 for 12 bottles here in the state of Florida, alcohol tax. Or in California, it's 63 cents, right? So it all depends on the state and the liquor taxation. But more or less, you know, you're going to run across, let's say, $8 to $10 for a liter.
What do you think your dad would be most proud of if he could see you guys today?
Well, now you're trying to get me to cry. When we first got to this country, and Henry says this, Henry repeats it all the time. Our father said, we didn't come to this country to mess around. We came here for a reason. We didn't come here to take. We came here to give. And I think he'd be so proud that we have done something with our lives. And we have created a business that employs people. I like to think that we help our customers, because a small mom and pop restaurant or bar, sometimes their only reason that they're in business is because they're serving premium blend cocktails, the profit margins they make. And some of our best customers make so much money, they get a liquor license. They just keep buying ours for their Wells drinks, but then they get the liquor license for the fancy guys who want, you know, Johnny Walker or whatever. So I think he'd be very proud that we did something, Pop. We did something.
What's your dad's name?
Orestes. Orestes Santos.
You got me too, Gino. I got a little teary-eyed there as well. My dad's still with me. He's 80, 85, and he's getting...
Spend as much time as you can with him, my friend.
What's the future hold for you guys?
Yeah, well, we just like every business, every brand in this liquor industry, in the wine industry, in the alcohol industry, we have new products coming out. Henry's like a genius creating new stuff. He's the most creative person you've ever... I mean, like sometimes I got to put the brakes on. He comes up with so much stuff. We have an aguardiente, which is a Colombian style drink that we're going to be launching within a month or so. And we're always looking for what's going on in the industry. If you could get it at a liquor restaurant, you're going to get it at a beer and wine restaurant, because we're going to have the same kind of product. So that aguardiente is a big thing now with the World Cup coming on and Colombia being one of the big teams. That's our new product, but we always have new things coming on board. I think the evolution is not only to continue to service our existing customers, our beer and wine niche, which would always be the people that are near and dearest to our heart, but we're also, because of the recognition of wine-based, and because there's products out there already, are going to be probably looking for some placement in retail establishments where you can actually go to Ralph's over there in California and pick up a bottle of our agave wine and take it home and have a nice, smooth cocktail.
Are you guys going to be at the World Cup?
They have games down here in Miami, so we're going to, you know, we got, as a matter of fact, Maria knows this, we were just trying to line up some parties at some of our accounts, introduce the new drink, the new product we have coming out, and just, you know, it's our product. Like I tell people, we work where other people go to have fun. We're going to be there.
What does getting the whole family for a holiday dinner, what does that table look like?
Oh, wow. Let's see. I have three kids, daughter 27, daughter 23, son 19. Henry has two kids, daughter 42, son 35, 37. He got married and he was still in diapers. Unfortunately, our parents and our grandmother who came from us, thus from Cuba, have passed, but I'm sure that they're sitting there with us also. My brother John has a daughter who's 20, 23 also. He's in Tennessee, lives in Nashville. Henry lives in between Miami and Jacksonville, and I'm down here in Miami. And of course, that dinner table is going to have a roast pork with black beans and rice on it. Yeah, it's going to have the Cuban flag for food there. But that's kind of our nucleus right there. And the reason that we get up every morning.
What are you drinking?
Couple of things, actually. We're going to, with the meal, we're probably going to have Santos Sangria, which is a sangria that we have, that we make and we bring over from Spain. It's actually of 100% Spanish origin, and we bring it over. It's Santos Sangria, an old family recipe that my grandmother used to make from scratch at home. So that'll be with the meal. We'll have the sangria, but beforehand we'll have a couple of cocktails. And I'm usually I'll do the rum and cokes. So that my brother John also does the rum and cokes. And Henry is more of a vodka guy, so he'll do the vodka with soda. So we'll have a couple of cocktails made with premium blend, of course. When I say, one of the things we do here that hopefully doesn't get us in trouble is we say, you know, let's have a rum and coke, let's have a vodka with this, let's have it. We use the liquor name, but obviously we all know we're talking about the wine-based version of it, because that's what we have. And our customers do the same. They hey, I want a case of vodka. We know what they're talking about because we don't have vodka. We have clear red, which is a wine base. So when you hear me talking about a rum and coke, I'm talking about Rumbero or clear red, which is our vodka. We'd be drinking that and then, you know, a little Santo Sangria with the meal. And then after dinner, we have an amaretto. We have an amaretto. We have a great Irish cream from that we actually have produced in Ireland, same places that they make Bailey's and all those others. We'll finish off with, you know, a nice Feiligan, which is our Irish cream, or our coffee liqueur, Cafe Luna, as a little after dinner drink.
You've been helping small business owners, kind of a cheat code for 35 years with this whole thing. Has there been an outrageous cocktail that you product that somebody has made that you didn't see really coming?
Outrageous cocktail that we didn't see coming. Well, that's a good question. You're talking about something that just got really, really popular. Well, that's one of the things we offer our customers. Like, we don't just drop off a product and say good luck. We help them make the drinks. We give them promotional materials. We give them recipe books. In terms of a crazy cocktail that was out there, I can't really think of anything crazy. You know, I think the ascension of, not a cocktail, but the ascension of tequila, nobody really saw coming. It's become more popular, and some say it's soon to overtake vodka as the leading spirit in the United States. And I never would have thought the margarita would be the number one selling cocktail in the United States. You would think it'd be, you know, something more traditional, but margarita becoming the biggest selling cocktail was kind of a bit of a surprise. Our website is premiumblend.com. And one thing that we're very proud of actually is very old school. We've had the same toll-free 800 number for 35 years, 800-899-0331. Anybody who picked up a phone back in the year 2001 and called us on that number, if they want to go back in business, they can call that number, and we're still picking up that number. That's something you don't see that much any longer. We're on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and if I told you the handles, I'd be lying because I'm not the biggest social media guy, but that's what Maria's here for. She knows all those.
Awesome. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for taking the time.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Thanks.